Well, most of us want to use our finances well, but what does it mean to honor God, to trust God with our money in the context of marriage? I'm John Fuller, and thanks for joining us. Dr. Greg Smalley is here. Greg, Erin's not here.
I know. She's not feeling well, a little bit under the weather.
Okay, so we're going to have to carry this one by ourselves. Yeah. We'll do our best.
Or maybe she's home spending our money.
Oh, she's online. Well, so what is this this dynamic of finances and couples with maybe different perspectives about money?
Yeah, and I loved how you framed that. How do we really honor God with our money? And as Erin and I work with couples, as we deal with that within our own relationship, I think the evidence of us doing that, you know, first and foremost, tithing to our church, and that's the
giving.
That we have an automatic withdrawal. That's something that we don't mess with. That's first. I love Proverbs 3:9-10, to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. In other words, you know, make that the first thing that we do. And I think that's a big part of how Erin and I really try to trust God and honor God with our finances. We have other charitable organizations that we give to. A big one is Annie, our adopted daughter from China, mm-hmm. her orphanage.
Ah.
You know, that's a personal thing, and we've involved Annie in that.
That's awesome.
And she gets to see that and be a part of that. You know, I think things like, John, financial stewardship. In other words, you know, are we making sure that we're avoiding excessive debt? Are we planning for the future? Is there transparency and accountability? You know, Erin and I sit down. It's Erin's least favorite thing. And maybe
are you
what contributed
about the
to her
talk?
Being sick. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know, we've been going through, you know, just budgeting that whole process right now. But doing that in a transparent way, I mean, all that, I think that sort of financial stewardship is a way that we honor God. So yeah. I think it's those kinds of things where we learn to trust God. I always tell couples, boy, make that such a matter of prayer first and foremost together.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would add, then have conversations.
Right.
This is not something to just do without talking about. And we hope that the conversation you're about to hear will help kind of tee up the conversation. Focused on the Family president, Jim Daly, spoke with Bob and Linda Lottick, who overcame a lot of financial struggles. And here they're talking about an acronym called AUM, which they say means assets under management.
A lot of people measure their financial progress with their net worth, you know, so,
and
I think a lot of people think, well, that's just for rich people that count how much money they have and stuff like that. But it's actually a great way to measure your financial progress. But we have a little bit of an issue with the term net worth. And so we just kind of decided we want to rename it and we want to call it AUM, stands for assets under management. This is a common term among financial professionals to be able to say how much money I manage. And as believers, like, it just feels more appropriate if we understand that everything is God's and everything in our bank account, our cars, all of our possessions are actually His. It feels better to me to call it our assets under management.
Can I just say one observation?
Yeah.
In your 20s, it's more liabilities under management.
Yes, absolutely.
When the number is, the got a little negative sign in front of it, right?
Yep. And absolutely. Ours was negative the first time by a lot, negative 13,000 when we first measured it. But that's one reason. And the other thing, we don't really like the idea of any number defining our net worth, if you will. Like, when you consider everything that Jesus did for us, it's like, whether it's 10 million or negative 10 million, like, defining yourself by that number just doesn't sit right. You know?
But in that context, I think the Lord's clear to not be in debt to others is, I'd say, a good spiritual truth, because you are beholden to that person you're in debt to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the bank or whoever it might be.
Yeah.
Certainly not a relative.
Hope not.
Yeah. But that is really good. And so that's just your total assets minus your liabilities, basically, is what you have to manage. And sometimes that's negative, and hopefully it's positive.
Yeah.
In that regard, you also write about the never 100 rule.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the never 100?
Yeah.
It is to try as best as you can.
I love that preface. Thank you for that. It makes me want to do it.
Right. Now. Not to spend 100% of your income every month. So if you get, let's just say $100 for the sake of simplicity for me.
Yeah.
If you get $100 a month, try to put 10 of it into saving for retirement or something. And then ideally another 10 or whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give.
Right.
Right. And so then there's 80% left, or whatever that number is, to spend on your monthly expenses.
Yeah. And you've applied that over the years. You have something called the straight A strategy, mm-hmm. kind of a, is that a 4-part plan, if I remember correctly? Yeah. I'm hitting all the hot spots. So, but people are going to need to get the book to get it all.
Yeah. The thing about the never 100 rule, that it was just a rule that we created. We realized that if we keep spending 100% of our income, we're never going to go forward.
Correct.
And that's what we were doing.
I was actually spending 150% of my income. Yeah, so that's what got me into debt and had debt collectors calling me, right? Yeah. So this was a rule we needed to break in order to rein things in.
And so that's where that rule came from. It's like, how can we make a rule that ensures that we're going to move forward financially by giving and by saving or investing or whatever? And so the straight A strategy was kind of birthed out of that. What are the things that we can do? Because like everyone knows, all right, don't spend all your money. Like that's obvious. But how do we actually do that? And that's where the straight A strategy comes into play. And so the first one is paying attention. Like we have to actually pay attention. And you'd be surprised how many people don't.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I know myself.
Yeah.
You start with the toughest discipline of all, pay attention. Okay, what's next?
And the next part is to actually find some way to have some accountability. Like we all know this. We need some accountability. We need some sort of budget that's actually going to hold us accountable. And the next one is automating everything that you can. Because what I've discovered is the truly financially successful people in the world, they don't depend on their willpower. So everybody thinks that they're doing well financially because they have so much willpower and they can just do the right thing all the time. And it's not that. They've learned how to automate.
Yeah. What does automate mean? Like, what does it mean?
Yeah. It means making it automatic. So if it's giving and you're not consistent with giving, but you want to be a consistent giver, like how can you set it up so that you're automatically giving to your church or whatever organization you want every month? Or if it's saving for retirement.
Like an auto bill pay kind of thing?
Yeah, it could be that. Hmm. Or just with your HR department, setting up an auto 401k contribution every single month or contributing to an IRA. But doing those things automatically is really how you make the progress.
Well, that was a pretty sobering thing that the Loddicks admitted to, Greg, spending 100% of their income.
Yeah.
That is a surefire way to not get ahead in life.
Right.
So what would your counsel be to a couple in that spot? They're just spending way too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that first step is always to rally together before the Lord. Like that first step is let's really take this to God. Let's pray. Let's read scripture. I love the idea, and I've encouraged couples to do this, just to Google the phrase Bible verses about financial stewardship.
Okay.
Seriously, because what you're going to find is all kinds of verses, and what Aaron and I have done is then we take those and we pray those back to the Lord together.
Really?
And there's just a way that making that our first step, it begins to unify us. Man, finances, as we all know, it's so divisive. Mm-hmm. There's so much wrapped up in that can create some challenges for couples that when Aaron and I just go before the Lord, when we're praying about our money, when we're praying verses back to the Lord, boy, that just establishes that unity that we're really looking for. And then, John, you mentioned this in our opening. That next step is we've got to talk. This has to be a safe discussion. We have to train our marriage over time that we are going to talk about money, and that this isn't me and my way, you and your way.
Yeah.
We're going to look for something that feels good to both of us, and that requires those conversations. So really think about what would safety look like within our communication. That means that I'm aware of the emotions that get stirred up. Mm-hmm. You know, do I feel helpless, controlled? Yeah. Do I feel insecure? Whatever those emotions are, let's be aware of them and let's talk those through. And then, again, I'm not the financial expert, but then really thinking about some financial goals. So maybe there's some debt that we want to pay off or some, you know, certain amount of money that we want to put aside for our savings, whatever that looks like. The more that we talk, that we function as a team, but that's what really can protect our marriage.
Mm-hmm. I love what you've shared here, and certainly we had some great insights from Bob and Linda Loddick, and we have a lot of resources here, including a free marriage assessment.
That's right.
Now, if you're having trouble talking about finances, the assessment, Greg, is great. Just give us a thumbnail of the importance of that.
Yeah, the assessment itself, we're looking at 12 behaviors that help to create a strong marriage. One of those is how we function together as a team, how we're making decisions, how are we working together so that both of us feel included, both matter, both of our thoughts and opinions and personalities, all those differences factor into, okay, here's how we'll make decisions around things like money. So mm-hmm. it's just a great tool to give you a better idea of where are we strong in our marriage? Yeah. Where are we maybe not so strong? Some growth areas. Yeah. It's just a great perspective.
Why don't you set aside some time in the next couple of days and sit down and just hit the link in the show notes and take our free marriage assessment if you haven't done so already, or if it's been a while since you did it. We've revised it in the past couple of years. So take that free marriage assessment and then start talking together about what you're learning there. And practically, Bob's book is terrific. It's called Simple Money, Rich Life. It's full of their story and a lot of their strategies for getting out of debt and being financially well. So get a copy of that book today. We'd ask that you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus. Support this show, support the work we're doing to encourage couples around the world and to help families stay strong. When you donate today, ask for that book, Simple Money, Rich Life. The details are in the show notes, or give us a call. We'll hear more from the Loddicks next time. For now, on behalf of the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage podcast.